Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're going kind of wild. We're diving into the world of wildflower lawns using this really fascinating Dutch gardening guide.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, it's all about creating these like mini ecosystems. They call them garden biotopes.
Yeah, those are great. And a lot of people are kind of tired of that like traditional
The like golf course.
Yeah, exactly. That like
Well,
sterile lawn look. And they want something a bit more eco-friendly.
and honestly, a lot less work.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I mean, that's definitely what caught my eye. So this guide is all about moving away from that whole like perfectly manicured thing. What's the advantage of kind of letting things go a little wild?
Well, for one thing, you're going to have a lot more like pollinators and insects and even some pretty cool fungi.
Wait, mushrooms in my lawn? Really?
Yeah. Certain types actually do really well in a wildflower environment. But before we get too ahead of ourselves, let's start with the basics.
Yeah.
Where's the best place to actually put this wildflower haven?
All right, so location, location, location. What should we be looking for?
You'll definitely want to avoid putting it right next to like paved areas or your traditional flower beds. Think about it, those seeds are going to spread. You know?
So I don't want a wildflower takeover in my rose garden.
Exactly. It's like you're almost like a landscape strategist, thinking about those seed dispersal patterns.
Right. Okay, so we've got our location picked out. What's next?
Well, then it's time to prep the soil. The guide talks about this method called omkoppen, which basically means you're going to be turning the soil over to bury any existing vegetation.
Some good old-fashioned digging. How deep are we talking?
At least 30 centimeters, almost a foot deep. And this is where you got to think about your soil composition. If you're in a sandy area, you might need to add some extra sand. Or if it's more clay heavy, you might need to amend it with loam.
So we're matching the soil to the wildflowers we're going to plant.
Exactly. And here's a super important point. Never use fertilizers.
Really? Why is that?
Because fertilizers are basically like rocket fuel for grass. And we want to avoid a grass monoculture, remember. We're trying to create a balanced ecosystem.
So it's all about setting the stage from the ground up.
Like that. And speaking of giving wildflowers a fighting chance, this guide mentions something called a false seed bed. It sounds kind of sneaky.
It is kind of sneaky. Basically, you let the weeds germinate for a few weeks and then you remove them.
So we're tricking the weeds.
Yeah, it sounds counterintuitive, but it really helps reduce competition for those wildflower seeds later on.
Oh, that's smart.
Okay.
But how do I know which sprouts are the good wildflowers and which ones are the weeds I need to get rid of?
Well, there's this cool app the guide recommends. It's called Obs Identify. It's like having a botanist in your pocket.
Oh, that's awesome. So no more guessing games.
Right.
All right, so we've prepped the soil, picked your spot, and weeded out the competition. Now it's time to talk about seeds. And it seems like this guide is pretty specific about where to get them.
Oh, definitely. The big thing here is you got to go for native pesticide-free seeds. We want high-quality, ecologically sound choices, things that support the local ecosystem and don't harm beneficial insects. So no grabbing random seed packets at the grocery store then. Where should we be looking?
The guide actually recommends a few specific European websites like ecosym.be and kruidtheek.nl. They have these amazing wildflower seed mixes that are tailored to different soil types and moisture levels.
Oh, wow, that's great. So I don't need to be like a wildflower expert to figure this out.
Nope. And you know what else I thought was interesting? The guide actually lists specific wildflower species that are ideal for sandy soil. And they even break it down further, like which ones prefer nutrient-rich versus nutrient-poor environments.
Wow. Okay, so this guide is like super detailed. I love it. All right, so we've got our seeds. What's the best way to actually sow them?
Well, get ready for this. The guide suggests mixing the seeds with sand in buckets before spreading them.
Sand? Really? Why?
It actually makes it way easier to see where you've sown the seeds so you don't end up with a parody meadow.
That makes sense. Plus, wouldn't it keep the birds from eating all the seeds too?
Yeah, exactly. And then comes the really fun part. The guide calls it trample fun.
Trample fun? What's that?
You basically just walk all over the area, pressing the seeds into the soil. It's like a back to nature approach.
No tiptoeing around, huh? I like it. So we've prepped, sown, and trampled. What happens next?
Now we wait. Patience is key. The guide stresses minimizing foot traffic while those seeds are germinating.
Got it. No impromptu soccer games on the wildflower lawn. But weeding is still okay, right?
Yeah, definitely. Keep an eye out for any unwanted plants trying to sneak in. That plant ID app will come in handy here.
It's like our secret weapon.
Okay, so fast forward a bit. The wildflowers have sprouted and things are looking good. When do we mow, and is there anything special we need to know?
The guide recommends the first mowing, sometime between May and June, and use the highest setting on your mower. That way you're just trimming the grasses and the taller flower stalks without cutting back the wildflowers too much.
Makes sense. But there's one instruction here that kind of surprised me. It says to always use a bagging mower. Why is that so important? Mm. It all goes back to those nutrients, remember? Even grass clippings add nutrients as they decompose. And we want to keep that soil on the leaner side to favor the wildflowers.
Ah, so it's like we're subtly manipulating the environment.
Exactly. Oh, and the guide also recommends using a battery-powered mower, if you can, you know, for the environment.
Good point. Now, this next instruction is a little unexpected. It says to leave at least a third of the lawn unmowed.
Yeah, I know, it might sound counterintuitive, but it's actually a really great way to create habitat for insects and all sorts of creatures.
So it's about embracing the wildness and creating a true haven. I love that. This is turning into way more than just a lawn.
Right. It's a whole ecosystem in the making. Now, how about we take a quick break and then we'll come back and talk about long-term care and some troubleshooting tips.
Sounds good. Okay, so we're back and ready to talk about keeping our wildflower haven looking its best in the long run. What's the game plan?
Well, the same basic principles apply. No fertilizers, and keep mowing regularly to keep those grasses in check.
Okay, so far so good. What about fallen leaves? Do we rake them up or leave them be?
The guide actually recommends removing them. You see, they block sunlight from getting to the wildflowers, and as they break down, they add, you guessed it, more nutrients to the soil.
Right, and we want to avoid that. So rake them up and toss them in the compost bin.
Exactly. Now, here's a fun little tidbit. Removing leaves and avoiding fertilizers can also help with mold problems.
Moles? What do moles have to do with wildflowers?
Moles love to eat worms, and worms love nutrient-rich soil. So by keeping our wildflower lawn a bit on the lean side, we're making it less appealing to those tunneling troublemakers.
Wow, it's all connected, isn't it? But let's be real, sometimes things don't go exactly according to plan. What if we get some bare patches, or the soil gets compacted, or what if it's just too wet? Any tips for troubleshooting?
Absolutely. For bare patches, the guide recommends plugging them with additional wildflowers in the fall. Kind of like a little wildflower patching project.
I like that. And what about compacted soil?
A gardening fork is your best friend there.
Hmm.
Just gently aerate the soil to loosen things up.
Okay, garden fork check. What about those soggy spots?
The guide suggests creating something called a wadi. It's basically a shallow depression that allows excess water to collect.
So it's like a little mini pond for the wildflowers that like things a bit wetter.
Exactly. It's another way to create habitat and increase biodiversity. Now, before we wrap things up, there are a couple of bonus tips I wanted to mention. The first one is about creating islands of wildflowers within the lawn.
Wildflower islands, what are those?
It's a way to add some structure and visual interest. You can create these dedicated wildflower areas in parts of the lawn that don't get a lot of foot traffic.
Oh, I see. So it's like having the best of both worlds, some open space for playing and relaxing and some dedicated wildflower zones.
Right. And the second bonus tip is about planting early blooming bulbs.
Oh, that's a great idea. So while we're waiting for the wildflowers to really get going, those bulbs will provide some early color and attract pollinators.
Exactly. And as always, the guide emphasizes choosing organic, pesticide-free bulbs. For drier soils, it recommends things like blue grape hyacinths and crocuses. And for moister areas, snowdrops and actually crocuses again. They seem to do well in both.
Wow, there's so much to think about. It's amazing how much goes into creating a truly thriving wildflower lawn.
It is. But it's a really rewarding process. And the benefits go way beyond just the visual beauty. You know, we're talking about increased biodiversity, healthier soil, less work, and even a deeper connection to nature.
It's like we're creating a whole ecosystem right in our own backyard.
Exactly. And that's the beauty of this Dutch gardening guide. It's not just a how-to manual. It's a way of thinking about our relationship with nature.
I love that this has been such an insightful deep dive. So for our listener who is ready to take the plunge and create their own wildflower meadow, what are the key takeaways?
I think the most important thing is to let go of the idea of perfection. A wildflower lawn is all about embracing nature's diversity. So choose your location wisely, prepare your soil, and then let those wildflowers do their thing. Observe, learn, and adapt along the way. Every garden is unique.
That's great advice. And you know what else I've learned from this guide? You don't have to do it all at once. Start small, experiment, and see what works for you.
Absolutely. And most importantly, have fun with it. Gardening should be a joy, not a chore.
I completely agree. And who knows, you might even get some unexpected surprises along the way, like a sudden flush of mushrooms.
Wouldn't that be fun? As we wrap up this deep dive into the world of wildflower lawns, I want to thank you for sharing your knowledge and passion with us.
It's been my pleasure. And to our listener, we encourage you to embark on this wildflower journey. It's a truly rewarding experience that will bring beauty, biodiversity, and a sense of wonder to your outdoor space.
So until our next deep dive, happy gardening.
You know, it's amazing how we can find these like profound connections to nature in something as simple as a lawn.
I know, right? And this guide really opens our eyes to all those possibilities. It's like we're shifting our whole perspective on what a lawn can be.
Absolutely. So for our listeners out there who are ready to ditch the traditional lawn and go wild, what would be your most important piece of advice?
I'd say start by just observing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, take a little time to really look at what's already happening in your yard. What kinds of plants are there? What insects are visiting? What's the soil like? All those little details can give you so much information.
So we're like detectives in our own backyard.
Exactly. And don't be afraid to experiment a little.
Yeah.
You know, what works for one person might not work for another. So try things out, see what happens. And most importantly, have fun.
Yeah, gardening shouldn't feel like a chore. It should be enjoyable, right?
Absolutely. And remember, you don't have to do everything at once.
Mm.
Start with a small patch, see how it goes, and then expand from there.
I like that. It's like a gentle approach to going wild.
Right. Small steps lead to big changes. And you never know what wonderful surprises you might find along the way. Like maybe you'll attract a whole new family of butterflies or discover a patch of those cool mushrooms we talked about.
That would be so cool. Well, this has been such a fascinating deep dive into the world of wildflower lawns. Thank you so much for sharing your expertise with us.
It's been my pleasure. And to all our listeners out there, I encourage you to give it a try. Creating a wildflower haven is a truly rewarding experience. It's good for the environment, it's good for your soul, and it's just plain fun.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Wow. So until our next deep dive, happy gardening, everyone.